Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're on Canto 10, Chapter 1, Verse 21. Swap my glasses in. So text 21. Giyanam Samadho Gagane Samiritam Nishamya Vedas Tridashan Uvachaha Gam Parushim Me Srinutamaraha Puna Vidhiyatam Asho Sorry Ashu Tataiva Mam Chiram Giram Samado Gagane Samiritam Nishamya Vedas Tridashanu Vachaha Gamporushime Shinutamara Pura Vidhiyatam Ashu Tataiva Mam Chiram Giram Samado Gagane Samiritam Nishamya Vedas Tridashan Uvachaha Gamporushim Me Shuta Srinuta Marapuna Vidhiyatam Ashu Tataivanam Chiram. Somebody else. Ladies. One more, somebody, another lady. Giram, a vibration of words. Samaro, in trance. Gagane, in the sky. Samiritam, vibrated. Nishamya, hearing. Vedaha, Lagrama. Tridishan, unto the demigods. Uvacha, said. Ha, oh. Gam, the order. Purushim, received from the Supreme Person. Me, from me. Shrinuta, just here. Amaraha, O demigods. Punaha, again. Vidhiyatam, execute. Ashu, immediately. Tata eva, just so. Ma, do not. Chiram, delay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Shridakshay Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Please repeat, while in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Shiradakshay Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Purport. It appears that the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be heard in trance by competent persons. Modern science gives us telephones by which one can hear sound vibrations from a distant place. Similarly, although other persons cannot hear the words of Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma is able to hear the Lord's words within himself. This is confirmed in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam 111, Tene Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye. Adikavi is Lord Brahma. In the beginning of the creation, Lord Brahma received the instructions of Vedic knowledge from Lord Vishnu through the medium of the heart, Rida. The same principle is confirmed here with. While Brahma was in trance, he was able to hear the words of Shiradakshay Vishnu, and he carried the Lord's message to the demigods. Similarly, in the beginning, Brahma first received Vedic knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the core of the heart. In both instances, the same process was used in transmitting the message to Lord Brahma. In other words, although Lord Vishnu was invisible even to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma could hear Lord Vishnu's words through the heart. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is invisible even to Lord Brahma, yet he descends on this earth and becomes visible to people in general. This is certainly an act of his causeless mercy, but fools and non-devotees think that Krishna as an ordinary historical person. Because they think that the Lord is an ordinary person like them, they are described as mudha, avajanantimam mudha. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neglected by such demoniac persons who cannot understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and who therefore misinterpret them. Translation. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, O demigods, hear from the order of Shridakshaya Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Hare Krishna. Okay, so this is one of the ways that Krishna communicates with ordinary living beings like ourselves. The agency of Lord Brahma is used for communicating whatever the Lord's desire or instructions are to the demigods. So that's one way of communicating. Other ways are there also. We have so many stories in the Bhagavatam. We have so many narrations, Chaitanya Charitamrita, etc., where there's communication directly between God and his devotees. Ordinary persons, they are puzzled or they disbelieve that this can actually be sure, be true. Very often you get people, they say, if there's a God, then show me him. Can you show me God? But that's not the way that one actually gets an understanding of who the Supreme Lord is and how he's appearing. Prabhupada always said that what is your power of seeing? But the power of hearing is more important. You know, we don't necessarily have to see God in order to believe that he exists. There are many ways that one can understand the existence or presence of the Lord. This is one of them. This is an authorized system of communication between Lord Brahma, the demigods, and Shridakshaya Vishnu. But in our circumstance, because we're not demigods, and we live on this tiny planet Earth, so we can't go very far. We're not able to travel to the ocean of milk and sit and meditate on the seashore there. We have to adopt a different method. So Prabhupada in the last sentence there, he says, those who cannot understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita therefore misinterpret them. So in this age, one of the communications from Krishna to his followers is by reciting the Bhagavad Gita. All the knowledge is there in the Gita. One simply has to understand it properly from the right source. This was always one of Prabhupada's big preaching points, that people talk or translate the Bhagavad Gita without understanding what it is. They have no idea of Krishna, the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, as being the Supreme Lord. I was at a meeting about 4 or 5 years ago in Calcutta. One of the Gaudiya Mats, they had invited me to speak. They were having some kind of 3-day function, so they had a number of invited speakers to come and give lectures. So the topic was, I think, Achinchabeda Beda Tattwa. So whilst I was waiting, we were on a stage and one gentleman from the Ramakrishna Mission, he was given the first opportunity to speak. So he immediately began to espouse this nonsense philosophy, Yatamat Tatopat, and he was explaining how men can become God and God can become an ordinary man. That's the basis of their whole philosophy. So this is rascaldom, yeah, avajananti mam mudha. Krishna says anybody who thinks that I'm an ordinary man or that any ordinary man is equal to me, he's a mudha, he's a fool and a rascal. So we don't follow such persons. That's one of Prabhupada's missions, is to destroy this Mayavadi concept that everything is God, we're God, you're God, you know, Daridra and Narayan, God is lying in the streets as a beggar. It's all bogus. Yeah, we don't find anywhere where some useless person like this is you know, instructed directly by Krishna. But those who are qualified, they can hear the words of the Supreme Lord. They may also see him according to his pleasure, etc. So a couple of examples how we understand God nowadays. As I said, we're not demigods. We can't travel to other planets. And what if we hear some voice booming in the sky, what is that? We have, because this whole pastime of Kamsa taking his sister and then going to chop her head off. Why? Because he heard some voice in the sky. That voice is not identified. Does anybody know what that voice is? It's not mentioned there. It's one of the Bhagavatam mysteries. Sometimes the personality that's been narrated about, they hear a voice in the sky. Yeah, so Kamsa, he heard a voice in the sky, but it was so convincing that he immediately wanted to stop and chop off the head of his own sister. So whether or not one can communicate with God just by hearing a voice in the sky, who knows what that voice is or where it's coming from. But he was going to act on that. So people, sometimes non-devotees, they think or they hear voices in their heads and they think, oh, God is talking to me. We had an example of that when I was a boy growing up in England. There was a fellow that became known as the Yorkshire Ripper. More than a century ago in London, there was one fellow, Jack the Ripper, and he was going around. Still to this day, nobody knows who he actually was. But he was going around and he would capture some prostitute and then slit her throat. So in this way, he killed a dozen, 14 girls. So in 1960s in England, there was this fellow that police couldn't capture him because he was too crafty. And he killed also about a dozen women. Finally, they captured him and they put him in jail. So they asked him, why did you do such a horrible thing, killing all these girls? And then he said, well, the voices in my head were telling me to do it. So God, and he thought that was God. God is telling me to kill all these girls. So this is ignorance. Yeah, we have to understand what God wants, not through the voices in our heads, but from the heart. Chaito Darpana Marjanam. When the heart is cleansed, then it's possible to communicate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are all exalted personalities, Lord Brahma, the demigods. They're all very pure. So they're able to receive the instruction and advice from the Supreme Lord, and they can follow that for the benefit of all mankind. But ordinary people in the modes of ignorance or passion, sometimes they have their minds are very troubled, and because they have no real information of God, of who God actually is, therefore they misinterpret, oh, I heard a noise in my head, it must be God. So that's not our process. Our process is to follow the Shastra, follow the Guru, and Guru Sadhu Shastra. Understand properly who God is. It's not that God is invisible. Krishna enters into every atom and in between every atom. That means actually everything is God. That's a fact. But you can only perceive God if he wants you to see him. Or you can only hear God if he wants you to hear him. And the instruction that he gives is always beneficial for mankind or for all the other living entities. Yeah, not that he's going around ordering the murdering of, not quite innocent girls, but that's not the way. This is the way. Lord Brahma, he took the position of being the communicator between the Supreme Lord and between the demigods. And once he had heard the message and the instructions of the Supreme Lord, then he passed that information down to the demigods. and they followed that instruction. So there was a couple of times when I was traveling with Srila Prabhupada, one time in particular when I remember something like this came up. Prabhupada was visiting New York in July of 1976. So one newspaper reporter, Kevin Lehart, he was a reporter for Newsday magazine. So it was quite a prestigious publication. And they came to do an interview, and this man was very intelligent. So he asked a number of good questions, and he got very good answers. Normally when I saw Prabhupada deal with newspaper reporters, it would be very basic stuff. You know, how many temples have you got? How much money do you earn every day? Things like this. Prabhupada actually, just before meeting this man, this news reporter, he had met with this girl from Newsweek, because Newsweek magazine is one of the big popular magazines, especially in America. So we were hoping for a good interview, but the person that they sent was just a junior reporter. Her name was Wanda. So she started off immediately by asking, how much money have you got? You know, how many temples have you got, etc. So Prabhupada was not very forthcoming because the girl was a neophyte. He said, actually, before she came into his room, he said, what's the use? She'll just come in and ask, how much money have you got? You know, how many temples have you got? So he wasn't very forthcoming in the interview until Rameshwara mentioned to her that he showed her that all of Prabhupada's books that were on the bookshelf. He said, Prabhupada is writing all these books for the benefit of, you know, other human beings. So as soon as there was a chance to talk about his books, Prabhupada immediately relaxed and he became very cooperative with the Newsweek reporter. And it turned out to be a fairly decent exchange. But after that, then this Kevin Lehart came. So he was, as I say, a very intelligent man, very sharp. And Prabhupada liked him immediately, saw him. His face was clear. He could write shorthand. So, you know, he could record everything Prabhupada said very clearly. So that question of how many temples do we have and what do, that came up. And Kevin asked how all of the 50 centers that we have in America, how were they supported? So Prabhupada gave him the same answer that he had given to the previous reporter, but it led to a much different exchange. Prabhupada told him, that is Krishna consciousness. So he was asking, how do you support all these temples? And Prabhupada told him, that is Krishna consciousness. And Kevin says, yes, well, the way that they support themselves. So Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna supports them. We do not know what we shall eat tomorrow, but we have no insufficiency. Rather, neighbors, they are grudging that these people do not do anything and they are living so comfortably. You sometimes used to get that. I had an exchange with a fellow. I was out on the street doing selling books in Melbourne many years ago, and there was one gentleman. He was an older man, about 70 years old, and he was picking up these big heavy boxes from his van and putting them inside a store. So when I came near him, he started yelling at me, you know, you lazy bum, why don't you go and get a job? So I told him, I said, well, if your work is too hard, why don't you do what we've done? We've given up that job. We're just chanting Hare Krishna, and we're very happy. So why don't you just chant Hare Krishna? Then you won't have to carry these boxes anymore. So he got that, made him even more angry. So this is the ordinary person, you know. They don't like it when they see that the devotees are enjoying and they're having to work like asses. But the reason why the devotees are so joyful is because they have that communication with Krishna. We have that instruction by Lord Chaitanya and all of his followers to spread Krishna consciousness far and wide. And if we do that, Krishna becomes pleased with us. The heart becomes cleansed and we're able to perceive directly the Supreme Lord and his associates. Therefore, Prabhupada said that the way that we support our temples is that Krishna is supporting them. So Prabhupada said sometimes people are grudging that these people are not doing anything and living so comfortably. So anyway, Kevin asked for some specifics. He said, how does Krishna support them? Does he mediate through physical things? So Prabhupada was willing to elaborate on what he meant in practical terms. He said, everything belongs to Krishna. So Krishna is within you. If Krishna dictates, give him $3,000, then you'll give me. That's all. And this is the actual fact. Yesterday, Mr. Coleman came. So Alan Coleman, he was the fellow that had made the first Krishna Conscious album. His label, his recording label, was the Happening Records. He heard the devotees singing in the street. This was in 66. And he became attracted, so he offered to make a record of the devotees chanting, and it was called Krishna Consciousness. And that album, of course, spread far and wide. They were playing it on the radio, the Beatles heard it, John Lennon, George Harrison, they started chanting because of that album. So it was very nice communication. And Mr. Coleman, he had engineered the whole thing. So he was supposed to give a certain amount of royalties to Srila Prabhupada for making the record, but somehow or another he never did that. So that was in 66. But in 1976, 10 years later, he suddenly turned up at our Delhi temple, and Prabhupada hadn't seen him for years, and he immediately handed over a check for $3,000. And he told Prabhupada, this is some of the royalties from the record. So it took him 10 years, but finally he actually paid some of the money. So that was in, I think, about March of 1976 in Delhi. After that, Prabhupada in April, he went on tour around the world. He came to New York in July of 76, so just a few months later. And again, he came and he gave Prabhupada a check for another $3,000, and that was just a gift. He didn't know it, but he just gave it because he liked Prabhupada and Prabhupada liked him. So Prabhupada used this example of how our temples are being supported. He said, we didn't ask Mr. Coleman to give us some money, but voluntarily he just came and gave it. This is Krishna supporting us. Yeah. We have such a big society. Where is all the money coming from? And Krishna arranges for his devotees. So so we immediately are depositing for our Vrindavan and Mayapur scheme, Prabhupada told him. So Prabhupada had a bank account. Wherever money was given to him personally, it was put in the Mayapur Vrindavan Trust Fund. And that money was used for building the Vrindavan temple. Some of it came here, and many of our other temples here in India were getting money from the MVT, and we still run the MVT as it is. So Prabhupada told him, Krishna sends us money. We do not bother what will happen tomorrow. Yeah, we're not bothered. We don't make elaborate arrangements, trust funds and wills. No. We simply go with our business, but we are very nicely maintained by Krishna's grace. That is Krishna consciousness. And Krishna says, Tesham Nichabha Yuktanam Yogakshimam Vahamyaham. So Kevin asked him again, what is the basis though? Can you tell me some of the things that a person would be qualified to receive. So Prabhupada told him the basis is just to see whether he's qualified. So he moved on and he started asking, well, how do you manage these temples? And Prabhupada told him, we have 18 GBCs, I'm training them up, and they'll look after things. So Kevin wanted to know on what basis did Prabhupada choose the people that he had given, you know, responsibility to for running all the temples in the movement. So Prabhupada said, it's simple. We just see whether he's qualified, that's all. Just like ordinarily, one manager is appointed by the supreme authority on his merit and on his qualification. So that's all. So Kevin was able to formulate his point and get to the essence of his questioning. He wanted to know about the innermost workings of Krishna consciousness. He said, okay, so is it a mediated choice or is it a direct communication from Krishna? That's my question. Very bold. Yeah, and getting right to the heart of the matter. Now, a mediated choice is what we've just read there in the purport. Lord Brahma was acting as a mediator between Shiradakshay Vishnu and the demigods. So this news reporter, he wanted to know, is your communication with Krishna, is it mediated, say, through some system or another, or is it a direct thing? In other words, are you saying that God talks directly to you? It's very provocative. Normally we wouldn't, you know, answer such questions. I do remember in Melbourne in 1974, when Prabhupada came for the Ratha Yatra, every year that Prabhupada came, we would make a new poster and stick that up on the hoardings all around Sydney and Melbourne. So Prabhupada had come to Melbourne and we had made this poster. The headline was, He Sees God. It was a challenge. We knew it was confrontational. He Sees God. And we plastered the whole of Melbourne with this poster. Prabhupada liked it, actually. So, anyway, Kevin wanted to know, is it mediated or is it a direct communication? So Rameshwara was kind of sensitive that he may not understand, oh, you're saying that you actually talk to God in person. So he tried to rephrase the question in a way that he thought that that Kevin would understand properly. So Rameshwara said to Prabhupada, he's asking whether we claim that God speaks to us directly. So Prabhupada's reply was natural and matter of fact. He said, yes, God speaks to you when you are qualified. You cannot expect God to be an order supplier. When he sees that you are qualified, he will speak to you. You can't ask for something from God, but when he sees, oh, he's a worthy person, he gives him whatever he needs for his service. So not wanting Kevin to think that this happens with just anyone, Bali Mardan qualified Prabhupada's statement even more. He said, the spiritual master is the representative of God to the disciple because he is in direct contact with God. So in other words, that's mediation also. And Prabhupada added, just like my spiritual master appointed me that you do this. So similarly, I am appointing somebody else, and this is the way. So because Kevin's question was aiming at the intimate level of devotee's relationship with Krishna, Rameshwara also felt it necessary to follow up with Bali Mardan's concern. He wanted Srila Prabhupada to specify the position and thus avoid any misunderstandings. So he said, it's difficult for people to understand that God can speak to an ordinary man. They question, how can God speak to some man? Prabhupada obliged with an analogy and a Shastric quote. He said, well, just like the radio message is coming, same as example that he's using in the purport there in the Bhagavatam. So the radio message is coming. A foolish man cannot understand how it is coming. He'll think, how is that speaking? So any foolish man will be astonished at how things are happening. This is foolishness. But God says, find out this verse, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mamupuyanti Te. He had me read out the translation from the Bhagavad Gita. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding by which they can come to me. To that, Prabhupada added, God is situated in everyone's heart. As soon as he sees that here is a qualified person, then he gives him instruction. So that was what I was saying. This is how he chose his GVCs, temple presidents, or other persons in responsibility. When they show that they're willing to follow the instructions nicely, then Krishna gives more and more instruction. So Kevin, however, continued to probe. But in the same way that Krishna says he'll provide for your needs, you still must work to achieve whatever Krishna is giving you. Yes, Prabhupada interjected, you work for Krishna, so you have to work to get your necessities. So, in the same way then, Kevin continued, I'm curious with respect to the way that Krishna communicates with you. Whether it's a similar kind of way that he gives you your necessities. So Bali Mardan caught what he was trying to say and he replied, in other words, when you decide that someone is to be in charge of a particular temple, does Krishna tell you that this person should be in charge? Or do you, by judging him, say that this person is qualified? So he's a very smart guy. He wanted to know, does Krishna directly tell you, or does he act through some means and just indicate it? So Prabhupada said, yes, because a devotee always consults with Krishna and he gives the order. So it's a more direct communication, Kevin said. Yes, Prabhupada told him, and he gives the order. So at this point, Rameshwara came into the conversation again, offering his own realization of the process of spiritual communication. He said, our philosophy says that intelligence comes from Krishna. Try to understand. Suppose my intelligence sees that this person is qualified. That means that Krishna has told me. So if through our intelligence we see something's going on, or some person is qualified, that's Krishna from within telling us this is the right person. Prabhupada immediately stopped him and made it perfectly clear that the process was not indirect. No, not necessarily. Krishna will tell you directly. A devotee always consults Krishna and Krishna tells him, all right, do like this, if not figuratively. We were all smiling at Prabhupada's unambiguous statement. His answer was firmly based on both Shastra and his own personal experience. So Kevin wanted to know, does that apply then to other kinds of decisions and other activities as well? To everything, Prabhupada told him, because a devotee does not do anything without consulting with Krishna. But that applies to very great elevated souls, Bali Mardan said. It is not for the ordinary person. And Prabhupada added, therefore the minor devotees, they consult the spiritual master. That is our process. Duly corrected, Rameshwara realized this mistake. Oh, I see. I was trying to explain the minor devotees. So Kevin laughed. He said, no, I was talking about the top one. You were talking about the topmost level, Rameshwara said. And everybody was smiling and enjoying the exchange. Bali Mahadan said, he's getting right to the source, right to the top. So there's a very clear instruction there that Prabhupada gave, that when he has to do something, he was consulting directly with Krishna, not figuratively. Yeah, or use your intelligence, and with your intelligence, if you understand something, that's the same as Krishna telling you. No. Krishna, when he's pleased with a devotee, he directly instructs him what is to be done and what is not to be done. So Prabhupada's propagation of Krishna consciousness, his setting up of ISKCON, we should take all of the activities that Prabhupada has given us as having been directly dictated to him. And then he's passed that message on so that we can have this Krishna consciousness movement and we can all develop our faith in Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and go home back to Godhead at the end of this life. So it's from person to person. It's not arbitrary. It's directly Krishna seeing what's going on and then giving, if the devotee is qualified, giving him the opportunity to increase his service more and more. That's a communication between directly between Krishna and his devotees. One other one other comment that Prabhupada made about writing his books came a couple of months later. That exchange was in July of 76. By September, we were back in Vrindavan. And this was on September the 4th. So later in the morning, after Prabhupada's breakfast, Harikesh Swami and I sat with Srila Prabhupada in his darshan room. So he was discussing a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he had Harikesh read it out. Titikshiva Karunika Suridam Savadayanam Ajatashatravashanta Sadhava Sadhubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living beings. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all of his characteristics are sublime. So Prabhupada smiled in satisfaction at hearing his own translation. He said, this is sadhu, not just the dress, but these qualities that a person has, that's what makes him into a sadhu. So then he had Harikesh read out the lengthy purport. At the end of it, Prabhupada said, so the description of the sadhu is there. It is very nice. Where will they find this description? Anywhere in the world. Complimenting Prabhupada, Harikesh said, I think that there's only one person who is following that description. So Prabhupada had a different mood, though. He humbly appreciated the words of the Shastra. No, I say about the Bhagavat's description, how perfect it is in every subject matter. And he provided a revealing insight into the source of his own words within the purport. I have tried to explain what is there in the Bhagavatam and expand it. That is not my explanation. That is Krishna's explanation. I cannot explain it now, but at that moment, means when he was writing the purport, he said, at that moment I could explain, but not now. That means it is Krishna's. I can understand that the description is very nicely given, although I say it is my writing, but I know it is not my writing, it is Krishna's writing. So we should read the Bhagavatam always. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We should not waste our time. So this is not the first time that Prabhupada has said that when he writes, he is simply acting as a mouthpiece for Krishna. His words and humility today merely emphasize his role as the transparent via media between us and Krishna, and he gave us another glimpse into the intimacy of his own dealings with the Lord. So that's a couple of examples of how spiritual communication is going on within the heart, Chaito Dharapana Marjanam, if we want to be on that level like Lord Brahma or even the demigods, or the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we have to practice very carefully whatever instructions they give. And by doing that, gradually the heart becomes purified. Lust, anger, greed, these things are dwelling there. We're in touch with the material energy. And at any moment we see sometimes people will fight with each other, they'll rob, they'll steal, they'll curse, or all kinds of misbehavior because they're in the lower modes of ignorance and passion. But when we come to the, and therefore we're blocked, that blocks or covers over our consciousness so that we, even when Krishna tells us directly what he wants in the Bhagavad Gita, we can't understand it. Oh, you know, what's his name, that Dr. Radha Krishna, when Krishna, he says it's not to Krishna, the person, that we have to surrender, but to the unborn within Krishna. This is all bogus nonsense, because these people are not spiritual. They're covered over with modes of ignorance and passion. They're politicians or businessmen or this or that. And their idea of a communication or an interaction with God is, please God, give me your daily bread. Give us our daily bread. They want something. Give me this, give me that. So Prabhupada said, that's not our prayer. Our prayer is, what do you want me to do? I'm at your service. You just order me and I'll execute it. So to that kind of person, this instruction is given. Yeah, but not to ordinary persons who are motivated by greed, lust, anger, enmity and fear. Only to the ones who are pure of heart. Okay, so it's 5 to 9. We'll stop at that point. Does anybody have any questions or further information that they can,
Well, devotees distribute so many books, millions and trillions of books per year, but we don't see so many devotees coming. Like millions of people, they take books, but they don't become devotees. From them, hardly people come.
Well, we may not see. Why do you put the criteria for the validity of book distribution? You want to make the validity of that you have to see so many people coming and joining? It's not up to our vision. It's when Krishna will decide. When we distribute books and we don't see people coming, that doesn't mean that the message is not getting through. It may take some time. It will take Krishna's time. I actually asked the very same question to Prabhupada on the morning walk in Melbourne in 1974, because we had just a small yatra, maybe 20 devotees in Sydney, about 15 or 20 in Melbourne. You know, we had about maybe 60 devotees in the whole of Australia at that time. So I was puzzled, because 73 onwards, book distribution became the main activity all around the movement, actually. And Prabhupada was deliberately provoking us in competition that, oh, you know, Melbourne is selling more books than Sydney. And he would stir it up a little bit and fire us up to go and sell more and more books. So I asked Prabhupada, I said that we're distributing so many books all over, but nobody's hardly anybody's coming to the temples. So Prabhupada got a little sharp. He said, that is Krishna's arrangement, not yours. Your business is just to go out and try and sell the books. Whoever comes, that is by Krishna's desire or by their desire with Krishna. So we don't. A devotee doesn't judge things by the apparent results, because the results can change. What will remain the same is the devotee's relationship with Krishna. Even if you go out and you try all day and you can't sell a single book, that's just as pleasing to Krishna as a person who goes out and sells 100 books. Yeah, it's the effort that we put into it in accordance with the desire that Krishna has expressed. That's all. A devotee just wants to be an instrument in the hands of Krishna. All the rest of it, the results of what we do, that will be decided by Krishna himself. All right? Any other questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. At the end of the class, you asked if anyone had something to add, and I had a story in connection to Krishna taking care of devotees' needs. Yeah. You might have heard this. I was wondering if I could just mention it, if that's okay with you. It's about Purijan Prabhu. I think when I first went to Hong Kong to preach Krishna consciousness, and I tried to establish a center there. And I think in the early days, they were struggling. And while they were struggling to make ends meet, he noticed that there was, I think it was a girl or boy, who used to come with some boga for them every day. Some random boy would come every day with some boga for them. And then as soon as things picked up and they started collecting enough funds to get things started, then the boy or girl would have stopped coming.
Yes.
And he said it. And there's also the story about the early days of the free couples in the UK. When they went to the UK to try to establish Krishna consciousness, or Prabhupada wanted them to. I think there was one point where they needed some money to pay the rent. And then one time they were walking through the streets of London, and then out of nowhere, this bunch of notes just came flying in, I heard, someone told me. And then they counted it, and it turned out to be the exact amount they needed to pay the rent that month.
Yes, Krishna always looks after his devotees, that's a fact. I was just looking at some video clips of Brahmananda Prabhu, because it was his disappearance, I think, a few days ago. So Brahmananda was one of the very first, and he was the first devotee that Prabhupada had gotten to get involved with publishing. So he had this manuscript of the Bhagavad Gita, and different devotees tried, Raya Rama tried, and others tried to get a publisher to put it out, because Prabhupada didn't have any money at that point, so he couldn't afford it. So one day, Brahmananda, he tried so many ways to get a publisher and couldn't do it. One day he received a letter from Macmillan Company. They were one of the biggest publishers in the country. And somebody had, some worker in the Macmillan Company, they had, they'd sent a letter to our society requesting, I forget exactly what it was that they were requesting. All right, the album. Yeah, the Happening album. And so Prabhupada told Brahmananda, you go there and you meet with this man and somehow or another convince him to publish the Bhagavad Gita. So Brahmananda was all fired up. He thought, this is a breakthrough, Macmillan Company. So I think he dressed up very nicely and he went there. And he had the album, the record album. But he was disappointed when he got there, because instead of being sent to the main office, they sent him to some, clerk's room or something. And the man, he got the album. So Brahmananda was thinking, well, what do I do now? I've delivered the album. But then somehow or another, this man walked in just at that moment, and the fellow that had bought the album, he introduced Brahmananda to the man, and Prabhupada had told Brahmananda, when they ask you what you're there for, just tell them that you have a Bhagavad Gita. So as soon as this man came in and Brahmananda was introduced to him, he told him that I have a Bhagavad Gita. And the guy looked at him, he said, the Bhagavad Gita, you've got a Bhagavad Gita? So Brahmananda said, yeah, there's, you know, my spiritual master's written a commentary on it. So this fellow then, he said, oh, it's just what we're looking for. He said, I have a series on Indian philosophy, and the one thing that we don't have is a Bhagavad Gita. So immediately he took the Bhagavad Gita, he said, we'll publish it. He didn't even see it. He never read it. But just on Brahmananda's, you know, contact, then immediately they went, oh, this is it. This is what I wanted. So Brahmananda, I think it was, he made this comment that there were so many minor miracles. Yeah, that's Krishna consciousness. Sometimes the most unusual things happen in your favor because Krishna has a bigger plan and can see a lot more than we can. And when Brahmananda came back, then Prabhupada asked what happened, and when he heard the story, he said, yes, so very nice, get it published. He was already, you know, working on his next books. So it was like almost like a casual, okay, see, I told you. And then he carried on. All right, it's 9:00. We'll finish there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.